All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check them out. Local folks doing local podcasts. We appreciate it. Good morning. How are you? What's today? Today is Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. I was, I pulled my back the other day. I did some stuff around the house, working around the house, and pulled back. My back is in a constant state of pulled. Ever since I pulled it back in 99, it's a continuous injury. But somehow I've extra pulled it. So I did not run yesterday, Monday, and my ego wants to run tomorrow. I'm dead set on it, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea. We'll have to see. It definitely feels better. I don't even know what I did. You know, it's one of those, I don't know, you hear people say, oh, I just reached to turn off a lamp and pulled my back, and that was it. I did a lot more than that. I power washed the house. I, cleaned up the garage. I did a lot of stuff. So I don't know what I did, but it's definitely pulled. What I did the other day was I cleaned up a lot of, I don't know about you, but I tend to, especially as we go through winter, there's not a lot to do. It's cold. Clearly, we've just come out of my first pandemic. I know there's been others, but first one for me. So that was heavy on my mind, obviously, and I was posting on something. I think I posted a picture on Facebook or something and just kind of said out loud, it's been a depressing, this year I've been depressed. It's been depressing. And, I hold on, I'm fine. We make the best of it, but when you kind of come through something like that and you look at it from, from a year period, it's been in general a pretty depressing year. Constantly doing all of the things that I try not to do. Projecting, reflecting, debating, opinions, staying off of my square, going into the woods by myself where I shouldn't go, going into, bad parts of town, whatever it is that all those things that you shouldn't do, I've been doing. And that's a metaphor, I'm not really going in the woods and I'm not really going into the town, but, just worrying about shit that I have no control over. Listening to people's opinions that I was talking to somebody, I may have even said this the other day, it feels like there's like four or five main stories in this world and then everything else is just hearsay. So, it's just a bunch of hearsay, and then we react, and our emotions get affected by this hearsay, and it's just insane. Somebody posted on Facebook this morning, I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. I don't dislike Joe Biden. I liked Joe Biden, a few years back. I thought he would have made a nice president, a few years back, but I don't have anything against Joe Biden. I get it. He's old, but you know what? He's perfect for what we need right now, which is just a little chill out, right? At least for me. I'm not going to speak for the whole world. I'm just going to say for me, it's nice to have a little bit less of a distraction, and believe me, there's parts of me that I kind of miss Trump too. So, I'm not completely an anti-Trumper, but people, it's right on schedule now. People are posting stuff, life before Biden, life after Biden. And of course it's always this, and maybe it's Russians. I don't know. Maybe these are Russian posts just to try to, we've been hearing about it, right? In the news about these places in Russia that are just these people that just create posts to aggravate us, to create infighting in our country. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know, but it was definitely, it caught my attention, and it was just this post that showed, life prior to Joe Biden and then life after Joe Biden. And of course, life after Joe Biden, or during, I should say, Joe Biden, They want to blame him for the price of gas right now, the price of lumber, everything, the price of oil. And it would be easy for me to be like, oh, my God, look at this. But someone nicely posted a comment and said, look, none of this is true. You know, the reason lumber's up is because of this. The reason the price of gas is up is because of this. You know, the reason this is up is because of this. Completely, perfectly good explanations. One of the reasons the price of gas is up because it always goes up in the summer. Gas always goes up in the summer because we drive more cars in the summer. We do more driving in the summer. Of course it goes up. It goes up every year. You know, last year, this pandemic year, you know, it was a little different, right? I mean, but I also remember gas was like $2.27 at one point, which is completely unheard of because it wasn't too far before that that it was almost $4 a gallon. So, I don't know. I guess it was just interesting, this post. And you know, like I said, I feel like it's just been really depressing and doing stuff like getting involved in posts like that and letting my mind get caught up in that shit. And it's not, first of all, it's not relevant. It doesn't change anything, you know? I'm going to get up today regardless, go to work regardless, do the best I can regardless, you know? But you know, it's funny, when gas is for me, one of the solutions that I do to try to help myself maintain a little sanity with gas, and gas isn't really that big of a deal. I don't drive that much. You know, I do have a Jeep that does. I just got this Jeep, I guess, a few months back, and it definitely takes more gas. You know, I used to fill up my other car for probably about $40 in a normal kind of year, and now it's probably costing me about $60. So there's definitely a big difference. But what I usually do is I'll just put $40 in the car. You know, and sometimes if I just put 40 and not fill it up all the way, I don't drive as much. Or I drive with a little bit more consideration. You know? It's like when you go to the Golden Corral, which I do not go to. But if you were to go to Golden Corral and you have a whole room of hot plates and foods and different things, and you're like, yes, and you just eat, and you just gorge yourself. Or if I went into a room with just a few hot plates and some special, you know, maybe the selections were less, maybe I would eat more with more thought. And that's kind of what I do with gas at this time. And I don't, you know, it's weird. I don't understand why people are getting all fired up, because $3 a gallon or $2.89 or whatever it is right now, it's not even that bad. It's been worse. I remember it was almost $5 a gallon. And I had this fucking giant F-250 truck. It was brutal. Luckily, I was able to sell it. But, yeah, so I guess the point of that is that hurting my back this weekend got me out of my run, which kind of got me out of my rhythm, which kind of in all seriousness, maybe would have got me to a place where I would have had a rough day today. But actually, I feel pretty good. And I recognize it, that I'm a little bit out of my routine, and I'll just, you know, do the best that I can. I wanted to talk a little bit about being adopted. I've had to have shared the fact that my parents picked me up from the hospital when I was 8 days old. 8 days. And, you know, I love the idea of adoption. I think it's such a wonderful gift, you know, when parents or whatever, maybe not parents, young people, whatever it is, I think the folks that had me, I think were just young. I don't really know. Maybe that's a picture I like to paint, but you know, it's awesome, right? You know, they maybe have made a mistake, you know, and now they have this big responsibility, and maybe they can't handle it, so they make a decision to, you know, put the child up for adoption. And that's what happened. Or I think that's what happened. That's the story that I've made up. And my parents couldn't have children, so they applied for adoption to adopt a child. And back then, you know, in 68, I guess, 67, 68, you know, they did it through a church in Oklahoma City. That's where I was born. And you could say, hey, you know, I'd like a little blonde, blue-eyed child. My mom was blonde hair, blue eyes. My dad had brown hair, brown eyes. They wanted to adopt two children, one blonde-haired, blue-eyed child and one brown-haired, brown-eyed child. You know, so that, you know, back then you didn't want, it's almost like it was such a secret, right? The shame of it. Shame. And, you know, they didn't want it to appear, I guess, like you'd adopted a child. They just wanted you to pick them up and then put the child right into place and then just move on with your life like it never, nothing ever really happened. Back then, I think, they used to take, you know, whoever my birth mother was. And none of this, I don't know any of the, I haven't spoken with anybody about this, but that's what I'm assuming, that you kind of went to like a convent or something where you stayed and, you know, ate well and rested and kind of were taken care of and then gave birth and then put the baby up for adoption. And then I guess you went back home and, you know, you didn't have to be, you know, pregnant without without being married or whatever. You know, what the times have changed so much, right? I mean, back in those days, it was a lot bigger of a deal than it is today. Today, it's nothing to see a young person, maybe even under the age of 18, that's pregnant. You know, it's not unusual to hear of somebody putting their child up for adoption. We're okay with that these days, or most of us, I would assume. But back then, it was different, and so I don't know if my birth mother went to a convent and stayed there until she gave birth, but I know that September 10th, 1968, I was born. And 8 days later, they called my mother. Well, I think they called, right, I guess, after I was born. And then 8 days later, my mom came and picked me up. And, you know, it's awesome. So grateful. So grateful to have. And my father's still alive. We lost my mom in October of last year. But I had great parents. Great, great parents. But the tough part about, and this is, I'm just going to just give you my thoughts on it, as a person that watched two parents who had adopted children raise us, and then I look at how I have with my children raised my own children, and I can see the challenges, right? Because, you know, when they adopted us, right away, you probably think, well, you know, we got to go above and beyond because we're not really their parents and we don't want them to turn on us or hate us. So, you know, we do more. They spoil us. And that's exactly what they did. We were spoiled, adopted kids. But I'm not sure what's the other alternative, because I would be, you know, as a parent of children now, you know, I can be tough. They have no choice, right? They're stuck with me. But I think as my parents were raising us, I think they're always in the back of their mind that they had this fear that we would eventually leave them or be mad. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I can't even imagine what that was like. But I can tell you, as a kid that was adopted, it's tough. It is tough. And I guess I feel like I kind of have this outlook at life because of I had been adopted, right? You know, the main people, my parents, gave us away. And you don't realize it as a person if you're just like from a natural family where you've been, you know, born into a family and they raise you and yada, yada, yada. But there's so many things that come from our parents, these nuances, these my eyes, my nose, behaviors. You know, I sit and talk to my dad now. You know, he was over last night for dinner, and he was good last night. He's always good. Sometimes we feel like getting into it. But I'd gone over there, I think, on Sunday to, I wanted to borrow his power washer, and it was broken, and And I was like, you know, maybe we need to buy a new one. Can we keep it here? I don't want to keep it here. It was a little tense, the conversation. And I was like, whatever. You know, I left. And then he called me later. I know that he felt like that conversation didn't go well. So he called me and was just like, huh, did you get the garage clean? You know, he was really upbeat. And so that's his way of, I don't know, apologizing, but just kind of smoothing it over. So he came over last night. And, you know, last night or any other night that I sit and talk to him, I think, you know, he is not me. I am not him. He is not me. The one thing that I have always, I think, taken from my dad, though, is he just says it how it is. And sometimes people call that mean or grumpy or gruff. But it's just, to me, it's like, you know, that's the one character, I won't say defect, but characteristic thing that I get from my dad is that I just say how it is. And I feel like it's easier that way. We'll just cut through the bullshit and just say it. And sometimes, you know, people think my dad is mean. I've been accused of being mean or insensitive. I don't know. I work on it. I try to be a little better. But you know, when I sit and talk to him, I'm like, God, this is not me. This is not how I feel. This is not how I think. You know, and if I was in a position right now where I was looking to find reasons for being who I am, it would be tough. You know, it's tough. I got nobody to blame but myself. And I don't know. It is a definite challenge. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my parents. But I definitely miss growing up with the nuances that I think we get from our birth parents. And I'll tell you about that in a minute.
See the world. like you somehow. I'll wait on in the dark for you to speak to me. I'll open up, release me, release me, release me, release me.
Heavy. You know, I'm you know, as an adopted kid, you find songs like that and you're like, oh my god, I eat that song up, because it is, you know, it, and it's not, it's weird. And I've shared this, you know, my life I felt like didn't really come around full circle until I had my kids, you know. And you don't really recognize or wonder what that's like, you know, not being able to see where your nose came from or your eyes. And it may sound petty, right? I mean, it's like, who cares? It isn't a big deal unless you don't have it. And it's still not a big deal, but it's just kind of like these, it's like going to, you know, I always say, if you're going to go to New York City, go with somebody that knows the city, right? You know. Go up there with or if you can go on a guided tour, or if you can get someone to take you around the city that knows all about the ins and outs of the city, do that. Just like any place you go, you know, if you go to Vegas, you go anywhere, go with somebody that knows the city. But being born and being put up for adoption and being adopted is like going to New York City without a guide. You know, you go through the motions and you got it and you're doing everything you're supposed to, but you don't find the great places to eat, right? You don't have the great scenic views like you would if you were with somebody that knew about the city. And I feel like that's kind of what it's like when you're born. You know, your parents are there to kind of guide you. I know as a parent, my job is to, you know, guide my kids, I guess. I mean, that's kind of what I've been told. It's also weird to be a child of adoption, because the way that you're raised isn't always the best way to raise children. And I'm not sure, unless you're adopted, I'm not sure you would even understand that. But it's, you know, if I was going to raise my kids the way that I was raised by my parents, it would be a mess. You know, my parents did everything for us. All, you know, when schoolwork came, you know, it was a whole thing. Everybody had to sit down. It took our whole family hostage, you know, trying to get me through life. And I don't do that with my kids. I almost do the exact opposite of my parents when it comes to raising my kids. And that's no, you know, I don't mean to disrespect my parents, because they're great folks. My dad's great. You know, he's got a great resume, right? But part of the gift of raising kids is having them. Or part of the gift of having kids is raising them. I guess that's a better way to say it, because it's this relationship, and you know, my kids are a part of me, and you can be tough on them, and they still love you. And you know, if my parents had been tough on us, we would have probably still loved them, of course, but. I think when you know you've been adopted, it seems like you have this out. Like, fuck it, I've been adopted. I'm going to find my real parents. It was just a mess. And I'm not disrespecting adoption. I think there's, you know, it's a great service, because there's a lot of kids that, you know, shouldn't be raised by the parents that have birthed them. I mean, very immature. But it is a trippy thing. And so when I had my kids and I saw where my nose went and I saw where my eyes went, And I saw where my personality went, and, you know, my wife tells me, oh, he's just like you. Oh, he's just like you. You know, and I'm like, oh, my God. And sometimes it's not the greatest character aspect of him but or them, but, you know, it is true. You know, my son, my older son's a little, he's slightly deficient in empathy, and I'm slightly deficient in empathy myself. He just says it how it is, whether you like it or not, and that's, you know, good or bad. I try to tell him he needs to have a little more empathy. But it is just, it has been a journey. And so people always say, well, have you ever tried to find your birth parents? And I have. I tried. And I think the one of the most fucked up parts about being adopted, at least at the time when I was adopted, it was all confidential. So not only did I did not know who my birth parents were, but I couldn't find out. Like, it was a secret. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, this is a secret. It's the biggest deal in my life, the birthing of me, right? Where I came from, where's my bloodline, what's my history, everything. You know, my wife's friend, her husband just passed away yesterday morning, and young guy, you know, full of life. They were just at the beach on Sunday. Sunday night, weird noises, tried to wake him up, wouldn't wake up, called an ambulance, yada, yada, yada. They took him off life support yesterday, and it turns out that he had an aneurysm, but he also had leukemia, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. And I don't know if the leukemia got him, or if the aneurysm got him, but something happened, and he's gone like that. And one of the downfalls of being adopted is I have no idea of what my health history is. I don't know if I have high cholesterol in my family, or if I have, you know, history of this or that. I don't have any idea. So that's a weird thing. You know, when I think about what happened to him yesterday, and I think, gosh, yeah, it's a mystery. And it's weird because, you know, as coming through that and then to have that, like, to be, you know, taken away from you learning about that, that's weird, right? So that's one of the things that's bizarre. But so, and people, like I said, people always ask me, have you ever tried to find your birth parents? And I have. And the last final time, I was like, you know what? I'm getting older. I'm 50. It seems like at 52, I'm like, well, they have to be dead. But the reality is that they're pretty young. My parents are, my adopted parents are, or my father's still alive. They were in the early 80s. So they probably are alive. So I'm like, oh, no, I'll try one more time. So I reached out, and the lady says, all right. And so she reached out and found my birth mother. And the lady told her, tell him to never, ever, ever try to contact me again, and hung up. Huh. Not nice. Not nice, lady. Not nice, mom. But the lady at the adoption place told me, she goes, listen, you know, this happens a lot. And she goes, what probably is taking place was that this woman was young, got pregnant, you know, went away, had you, put you up for adoption, walked away, and never looked back. She probably grew up and then probably eventually got married, you know, probably not to my birth father, and never mentioned it. You know, and it's crazy how the times have changed. In 1968, life was a lot different than it is in 2021. A lot different. So she said she probably never mentioned it, got married, probably never told her new husband that she had a baby. Probably didn't even, you know, she probably acted like she'd never even been with another person, right? So for me to show up and come bebopping into her life and be like, hey, I'm your son, you know, it could easily create a lot of problems in her world now. So I was like, that's fine. And they did find some pictures of my birth father out of a newspaper clipping from when he was arrested And I think they have a picture of his prison picture because he was a total drunk. Shocker. And he fought the police and he, you know, just a total drunk asshole. And so I could kind of see this grainy picture of him. But really, you know, I didn't know where, couldn't see his nose really. Couldn't see his eyes. It was black and white. So, you know, I learned one thing. I'm an alcoholic. Like, I didn't know that. But he confirmed it. And I have had some scuffles with the police. So, thank you for that, Dad. But whatever. The you know, it is what it is. I do not make... I'm not a victim of this. I'm not. I'm very... If I could find my birth parents, the one thing I would just say is, this isn't, just tell them, listen, I'm good. I'm okay. I appreciate... Thank you for having me. And, you know, I just wanted to say that I'm okay. Because I know they have to think about me, right? You just can't have a baby and not think about your kids. So I know they have to think about me. And I just would like to tell them, hey, I'm good. I'm not sure what that's about. Is that self? Is that, you know, ego? I don't know. Let's see. May 25th, progressive gratitude. Gratitude should go forward rather than backwards. As Bill sees it, page 29. I am very grateful that my higher power has given me a second chance to live a worthwhile life. Through Alcoholics Anonymous, I have been restored to sanity. The promises are being fulfilled in my life. I am grateful to be free from the slavery of alcohol. I am grateful for a peace of mind and the opportunity to grow. But my gratitude should grow. My gratitude should go forward rather than backwards. I cannot stay sober on yesterday's meetings or past 12-step calls. I need to put my gratitude into action today. Our co-founder said our gratitude can be best shown by carrying the message to others. Without action, my gratitude is just a pleasant emotion. I need to put it into action by working step 12, by carrying the message and practicing the principles in all my affairs. I am grateful for the chance to carry the message to you today. No, it says, I'm grateful for the chance to carry the message today. It doesn't say to you. But, you know, I don't know if this is a message. I talked to somebody yesterday who told me that they really enjoy the podcast. And I appreciated that because, you know, it is tough to sit here and share my story and my thoughts because, you know, I have a lot of other thoughts that are telling me not to do it. But if I can help one person, and this person told me that it helped, it's helping. Because, like I said, in the end, you know, when we put down the drink, that's when the shit fucking really gets crazy, man. And I think it's nice to have a little reminder of, if you know, once the alcohol is gone, there's still work to be done. And it's pretty important. So, anyway, I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.